Okay, we are in the last lap of the pool here. This is our class number 10 of our Spiritual Power for Success Momentum. And today's date is January 25th, 2017. So, Mary darling, why don't you go ahead and start your soul alignment, all the steps. Barb will be with us shortly, I'm assuming.
Okay.
And let me know when you feel them, when you sense them.
Alrighty.
Hello.
Okay, good. Barb, go ahead and activate the transmissions of grace and your whole soul alignment protocol. And you might want to move the phone a little bit away from you while you're doing it, because I'm going over with Mary what her experience of filling the transmissions and the whole soul alignment. We already had started. So I want to make sure that you can focus and get your soul alignment strong. Okay, Mary dear, so what was your experience of feeling them and the whole soul alignment experience?
Well, I was already feeling really good because I did listen to Sacred Peace for about 15 minutes before I got on the call. And sitting down, it was just a sense of, oh, anticipation, what are we doing today? And going through the steps, and it was like, yeah, there's stuff that, cobwebs that need to be blasted away. And my spirit guides came up and said, yeah, they were like sunbeams. They were like sunbeams bursting. This is radiant. I just feel the presence of radiance, and I'm so buoyed up and supported by my spun gold radiance.
How beautiful.
Feel supported. Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, how are you doing, Barb? Or do you still need a little more time? Okay, she's away from
I'm
there.
I'm ready. Yeah,
oh,
I'm ready.
Oh, good. Are you sure, Barb?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is your experience of having done the protocol?
I found it very relaxing. And cleaning out my head was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel eager to plunge into this session.
Yay. Okay. Me too. Aren't you lucky? Me too.
Alignment. Wow.
Right. Right. Okay, good. Let's go into the Facebook group. There is there are two things I want to point out to you if you haven't seen them already. Excuse me, and then we'll do the purpose statement and we'll jump in. So I included a handout from one of Suzanne Evans's work, that is The Cycle of Quitting. So I'd like you to either preview it or download it or something like that so you're able to look at it. And then the other thing that I put in here, if you go down a little bit more, is, where is it? Whoa, where'd it go?
It's just above it on mine. The
okay.
Questions.
Oh, good. Thank you. I had to refresh my page. Thank you. Yes, the class number 10 questions, reach your final completion project goal. So we'll be talking about that. I just want to make sure that you know that they're there so when I reference them, you can find it right away. So can both of you get access to that cycle of quitting handout? Do you all see it
yeah.
there? Okay,
yeah.
We're not going to go. We're not going to discuss it now. I just want to make sure you have it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so yes, thank you. So let's begin with somebody starting off with the purpose statement. Then the other individual will read it, and we will go from there.
Okay. The purpose of this course: bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating the life that you long to live, personally and professionally.
Thank you. Barb.
The purpose of this course is to bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, both personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in you creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating the life that you long to live, both personally and professionally.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go into review and just see how everything has been since last week. If you have any burning questions, after we go through some of this review, by all means, ask me. Does anybody have a burning question, just so I know?
No.
Okay,
nope.
How about you, Barb? Okay, great.
Nope.
So let's talk about what evidence of momentum you have experienced since last week. Who wants to go first?
I have not seen momentum outwardly, inwardly. I'm feeling a lot more confident, but I've been leaving a lot of voicemails for the people that I've been doing my research with, and not getting a lot of callbacks.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. So tell me about the internal momentum. Describe what makes you believe that you are feeling more confident.
We had a really good call yesterday, and I have been journaling about who's going to benefit from this and putting together the components, and I feel really confident in the value that I'm bringing. And
the components of what?
The project.
Okay, I just want Barbara
program.
To know. I just
yeah,
wanted Barbara
program.
To know.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, and what else? Are your indications of internal momentum?
Just that I'm not. That the old stories of who's going to want this are not as prevalent, and they don't show up nearly. They don't show up because I'm consistently giving value in my blog, and I have a couple of new people that are asking for discovery sessions, so I know that there's interest out there.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that momentum that new people...
That is, yes. I'm correcting myself because I do have two new discovery sessions on the books.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So the internal momentum is confidence. The external momentum is discovery sessions. The big question mark is people are not responding to your reach out to have interviews, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we will discuss that. Anything else that you want to share with regards to momentum?
No.
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being, yippee, off the charts, I'm a rock star, 1 being, I'm a failure, I shouldn't even leave the house, I'll lock myself in the bathroom, my husband won't even know where I am, where would you rate yourself as far as being proud of yourself?
I'm a 5.
All right. So true, you should be at a 5. Okay, good for you. All right, Barb, momentum, darling.
Outward momentum, having some inquiries for proposals and having responded to them.
Can you...
in process,
before,
but stuck in limbo right now.
Wait. What, when you give me, tell us a little bit about these inquiries, like how are they presented to you, and who are these people that are reaching out to you with inquiries and congratulations regardless?
One of them is from someone I have known who's a web designer, but we haven't been in touch in a while. Someone that I met with and explained to him, you know, my...
That's okay. I got it. This is the second one?
No, that's the first one. And then the second one was the woman who was the referral whom I should have charged for part of the conversation, and now she's...
And now she what?
Quote, now she's asking for a quote for filing for copyrights and trademarks. And so I have posed some questions back to her.
That's great. I think it's great that she came back.
Yep. And she was apologetic that it had taken so long to get back. So.
Any other momentum for you internally and externally?
Oh. I had a conversation today to finalize a workshop that I'm going to be doing on March 8th. This had been in process for a little while, and we finalized, and now I'm expecting a contract.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So, I think where I want to go next is people not calling back, okay? Because the focus of today's call is going to be motivation and sales, because we are edging into you getting celebration and yippee that is heard around the world for our class number 12. So the reason that somebody wouldn't respond to something is it's not relevant for them. There's not enough in it for them. That's true about dating. It's true about buying something. It's true about showing up at a free workshop. It's true for anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Mary, let's start off with what was your relationship with these people that you chose to reach out to them?
They were clients that did work with me, and a while, it's been a while, but when we did have work together, that they saw value in it, and I'm So I approached it as I'm checking in, and I wanted to find out what's going on with you. I have some, I'm working on some new programs, and I wanted to ask you a few questions. And I didn't make it, I didn't offer, I have an MP3 to give you when you respond or anything like that. Maybe that's, I should add that to the message.
Now, these people that you worked with the, in the past, did they like what you did? Did they feel good?
Of them gave me testimonials.
Okay, so maybe how long has it been since you called them and you have not heard back from them?
Well, it's over a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Do you think that they are not implementing what they did with you when they had hired you?
Well, that's entirely possible, because one of the gals, I noticed that she even let her domain name go when I went to check on what her website looked like. So she may not be doing the same thing anymore. But I'm just wondering if I didn't make it well, if I didn't give them enough reason to call me back.
Right, right. That's quite possible. So how many of these calls were there?
About half a dozen.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do a quick exercise. It'll be the intuition skills exercise that I taught you that I've referred back to both of you for a while now. And that is, put whoever it is that you want to communicate with, whether it's a person or a concept or a symbol, something that represents a body of intelligence that you want to have a dialogue with. So let's have you close your eyes and put these people as a group. Create a symbol or just see all their faces or their names kind of in a holographic design. And set them on a chair in front of you. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
And call in your guides and call in your higher self. And tell your guides and higher self that you need clarity of how to move this project successfully forward, because you are committed to your business and you are committed to serving the right people in the right way. And this is a very basic, important way to go about it, doing these interviews. Like, this is not out there on a limb. This is basic marketing steps to take. So in your own words, say all that to your guides and your higher self. And now talk to this symbol in front of you on that chair and ask them, why didn't you call me back? And write down all the answers that you get and then share that with me. Now I'm going to talk to Barb so do your best to concentrate while I'm talking. Barb, in your case, you could do the same process by putting the remaining dollar amount that you need to complete your project and talk to that dollar amount to determine what is the best way to bring you into my life. What is the best way to bring the remaining dollar amount into my life? Right, Barb?
Yep.
Okay, so you can do that while Mary's working on hers. And Mary, when you feel like you've gotten some answers that you've gone as far as you can right now, just let me know.
Okay,
so what are some of the answers that you got?
I thought you were going to call me back. It wasn't clear what it was you were doing. I don't have time to get involved. I've been sick. I'm not doing that work anymore. I can't afford to hire you right now. I assumed you'd know that if I didn't call you back, I wasn't interested.
Okay, good. So all of those imply that they thought you would be selling them something, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I clearly heard me say I was making this call to reach out and connect with them again, and I was just doing some market research, and I wanted to ask them a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, is there anybody in there that you really, really want to talk to?
Yeah, there was a gal who, she was ready to hire me, and we got out of the loop as far as seeing each other at networking things, and I really, really thought that she would call me back.
Okay. Well, if she didn't, I mean, who knows, but
yeah.
In a situation like that, it could be that she hired somebody else and she didn't want to, you know, be confronted. It
right.
could be that, you know, it could be those kinds of things. Or, yeah. So one thing that you could do is go back to each one and to say that, you know, everybody's been busy and it's, you know, we're all coming off of the holidays and the elections, if you feel like you want to say that, and that you're calling once again because you value their input in your marketing research that you're doing right now. You're not selling anything. You could say that.
Yeah.
This is not a sales call. So I just want to make sure you don't feel like I'm going to be marketing myself to you. Since you know my work, and
you put it out there that this is not a sales call.
Yeah. I'm calling you because we know each other and I really value your input.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want to offer them something as a thank you for their time, what do you think Do you have an MP3, a digital MP3 that you can give them as a
yes.
a thank
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm.
What is the MP3 on?
It's about talking to your ideal client, writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so now for the one whose domain name is expired or whatever, how do you think that MP3 might be of service to her?
Well, she was so invested in her business. I think that maybe she changed her business name, and that she's doing the same thing, but she went into partnership, or she got married or divorced, or because it was.
Yeah.
So I just think that the domain isn't as indicative that she's not in business as she changed her name.
Right, right. Very, very, I agree. So what you could say when you call these people back is that you, let's see how to say it, that what you neglected to tell them in the other message is that I really appreciate you taking the time because we're all so busy, that I'd like to gift you, what is it, 60 minutes long?
I think it's half an hour.
It's what?
Half an hour, 30 minutes.
Okay, yeah, so you could say, I'd like to gift you my 30-minute training on ideal client strategies.
Yes.
And so I think the key points to say when you call these people back is it's not a marketing call. We know each other. I value your input. We're in a whole new era. It's a new year. I'm designing. I'm looking to see what people find valuable. And I would welcome your input. And what I neglected to say in my last message is that I know how busy everybody is. And I so value you taking the time. I'd like to gift you my training on ideal client strategies. And I could tell you more about that when we talk.
Good. Yes.
And then ask them to call you back and leave good times between now and Friday, something like that.
Right, right.
And then you say, and I'll do my best to accommodate your schedule. Or feel free to email me with good dates and times between now and Friday.
What if I directed them to the online scheduler?
You could do that too.
Then
you could say, call me back.
Then they're choosing the time that I'm going to call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could either do it as a phone call, you know, give me a call, let me know when you're available between now and Friday, and I'll get back to you. Or an even better thing is just email me, or I will email you my scheduler.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is you could just email all of them and pretty much say what I just said in the email, making it clear where your scheduler is, and then call them as well after you've sent out the emails with the same message.
Yeah.
And then you have to let it go, you know.
Yeah.
But the inner work that you can do is you visualizing, hearing back from all of them, and you feeling great about your conversations with all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay? That's what you would do with that.
Yes.
Good. Do you have some more people? Have you had any interviews with anybody yet?
Yes, I did 3.
Okay, great.
Yes.
So I would suggest that you aim for another 7. So if you have, go to your list and find 7 additional people, and if these guys, this 6, call you back, then that would make it close to, 16 interviews that you've had. But since you haven't heard from them, we can't include them in the goal of 10, right?
Right.
So that's what I would do with regards to that. Any questions further about that?
No, that's good.
Okay, you feel good about that?
Yes.
Okay. Barb, where are you at with talking to people and having interviews so that you can get greater clarity about who your niche might be and clarity about what people will pay for?
I haven't done any marketing calls as such.
Okay, so let me stop you there. Now, when you say marketing calls, I'm talking about these interviews. Is that what you mean by marketing calls?
Yeah, marketing research calls. Yeah.
Okay. And do you know why that is?
I haven't known how to approach them or what to ask them. I'm putting together some new programs about copyright and writing and editing. And I guess I don't know the right people to ask who would need those services. Period. Much less be willing to pay for them.
Okay, good. Thank you. Mary, what would you like to say to Barb about that?
I would suggest that you go back to the email campaign that we did, and you could get a lot of questions out of that. And the people that would need your services are people who are in business that don't want to be surprised by a lawyer sending them a cease and desist letter. And
right.
If they're somebody that it has a website, they need this information.
Right.
So as far as finding the people, even the academics need to have this. And it sounds like you have more connection with the academics, but even the website, the web developers that you know, they probably have people that they work with that would need this information as well. So starting with the ones who you are already have in your circle would be where to start.
Okay, good. Thank you for the inspiration. Some names come to mind. So.
Okay, good.
Now, Barb, the other thing is, at what, if you were to go back to when I first presented this assignment, at what point did you become aware of the fact that you really didn't know how to start? Because I had initially introduced this assignment January 5th, which I think was 2 sessions ago. So I know that you went away. At what point, what date, roughly what week, can you tell me, were you aware that you were procrastinating because you didn't know how to start?
I did give it some thought, and when I was with a group of people, I identified a couple of people that I could talk to, and I talked to them a little bit. And as you said, then I went away, and so I haven't gotten back to those people. And they are people who could possibly understand, who understand this whole thing. And in fact, then they sometimes ask me little off the cuff questions.
At what point did you become aware that you were wasting time, you know, that you were procrastinating, that you were putting it off because you really just did not know where to begin?
I wasn't sure if I should send them a little something. Well, but I was supposed to.
Okay, when was that? I'm asking a very.
Okay. January 12th.
Okay, and was that before you went away? And when you came back, when did you know that you were, again, procrastinating and just keeping away from the project because you really didn't know where to begin?
Well, I got back on the 19th. And as you'll recall, I didn't remember that we had a session that night, and I joined late. So I think I was trying to move beyond that and work with the contacts that I had.
What do you mean work with the contacts that you had regarding what?
The requests for proposals that I had received while I was away.
So you didn't really contemplate or put attention on the interview assignment, right?
No.
Okay. So the reason that I'm asking this question is because, do you know why I'm asking this question, Barb? Do you have any sense at all why I'm asking?
To identify what my resistance is?
Yeah, it's in that ballpark. It's to give yourself permission to recognize that you are procrastinating, that there's a reason that should not be judged that's causing you to procrastinate, and then to reach out for help. You see? So now why I'm very serious about this is because being in business is a ballsy thing, meaning it takes courage, it takes riveting commitment to go outside of one's comfort zone and to give ourselves this dream that we have, which we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a minute. And when something like that assignment, given that you are in this tiny, tiny class of two people with me, meaning you know my commitment to both of you, you know that I'm a stickler for making sure that everybody knows what to do and how to do it, right?
Yes.
The fact that you have not asked for help is very important for you to recognize. Right, Barb?
Yes, Yes.
Go ahead.
We had been at trying to have schedule one-to-ones, and I kept following it up the schedule. And so maybe that's part of the answer. Yeah.
Well, so let's look at what the answer is, because for you to go for goals that are outside of your comfort zone, there has to be a strong foundation, which is what you're both building, and I'm building in my own way as I expand to my level of business, the way anybody has to go through in taking on the next generation of who they want to be, right?
Yeah.
So why did you not reach out for help? Let's get to the nitty-gritty of it.
Schedules, I guess, and
well, I'm talking about going into the Facebook group. Excuse me for interrupting. I'm talking about going into the Facebook group and or even reaching out to Mary and saying, you know, I don't really understand this. Well, here's the thing, because I don't want to, you know, take too much time on this.
Right.
The thing is that all of these exercises are built to get you to your goal. You having a clear idea about your niche, that's exactly what you were stumbling over. You didn't know who to ask, right?
Right.
Which was exactly why you needed to do and do need to do this exercise more than ever, is to find out who wants this kind of stuff, what's going on in their business that they would want this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So you have your entire Katrina Sala mastermind.
Yep.
And the questions, the basic roadmap of the kinds of questions for you to ask are in that January 5th post in the Facebook group. So could you just scroll down to January 5th and you'll see where I have all these asterisks of, you know, basically what you want to find out and how to create questions in your own words that will get that information. Do you see that?
I'm getting there. Yes, I see them. Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead. When I reached out to that group with my...
your newsletter, your subscription.
Yeah.
But this is different. This is different. And so if you feel that you are not really knowing how to relate to the people in your mastermind, that they're not the family that you think they should be, then that's something for you to discuss with Katrina and find out from her what, you know, how should you relate to them? Because in your view, the mastermind is allegedly a family, a community. We're there for each other, right? So ultimately, what I think is happening is that you're up against not really knowing how to go about relating to the people around you as you are growing your business. There's a disconnect between the steps and the things you want to find out and who you can find them out with, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you think you should do at this point? And don't say something that you think I want to hear or that you think is the socially correct thing to say, the politically correct thing to say. I really want to know in your heart of hearts, what do you think is the next reasonable step for you to take so that you can fulfill this assignment of interviewing people? And if you need any more clarity from me, by all means, you know, ask away.
Pointedly make appointments with members of CATS Mastermind. And some people on some Facebook lists.
Yeah.
And they're right, there are plenty of people. There are plenty of people.
Oh, yeah, and even, I mean, are there any people in your church group that have a business or that write? Anything like that?
Yes, yes, yes.
So it seems to me that what's really going on is you don't think you know how to start a conversation with these people, right?
Probably, yes.
So let's take a look at that January 5th list. Field research interviews for niche clarity and targeting offers and targeted offers, right?
Yep.
I'd like you to look down that list of asterisks and tell me what of those asterisks seem to be out of reach for you to use to create a interview process for yourself. Where you don't know which way to turn with it, you don't really see how to use it.
Losing sleep, what they really want more than anything else, where they're stuck, where they're suffering, because I don't think they are. I mean, well, they
yeah,
don't
yeah,
know
yeah.
what they don't. So, yeah, I need the initial question.
Okay, so your arena is people who are dealing with potential copyright infringement, noncompliance, as well as people who write stuff and they need them to be edited or they need them to be written well or even written at all. Correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would like you to think about a scenario where somebody is concerned about copywriting, like these people who contacted you that we just had our session about.
Yep.
They may not be losing sleep over it, but they're certainly thinking about the fact that they don't want to be legally responsible for some sort of lawsuit, right?
Right, right, right.
So my homework assignment for you to do tonight, if you at all possible, if you're willing, so we can get this behind us, is for you to come up with three different camps of people that would need your three different services: ghostwriting, copyright law, and editing, or copywriting in that sense. Is that correctly what you're focusing on right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And think about the people that just paid you for your services, right?
Yes.
And why they inquired about your services, the guy that we had our session about earlier, the woman who came back after having an initial conversation with you, think about why they sought you out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then make a list of five questions that you think you could use for all of them. Or 5 questions for 3 different types of people's circumstance that fit into the generic direction of those asterisks. So you'd come up with 5 questions for somebody who needs a ghostwriter. You'd come up with 5 questions for somebody who wants to make sure that they're legally compliant with regards to copywriting. You want to come up with 5 questions for somebody who already wrote something but they want it to be edited. Is that a good representation of the 3 sets of services that you provide? Did I miss a service in there? You do research also.
True.
So, research for what, besides the compliance stuff?
Probably associated with the writing.
The ghostwriting or the editing?
Yeah, probably the ghostwriting.
Okay, so have that be part of your question list that you're going to put together, right?
Right.
And put it up in the Facebook group as soon as possible, you know, if you don't overthink it. And then think of the people that you have in your immediate circles where you could say that you're doing your field research and you're wanting to find out what people are needing in the areas of copyright compliance with already written material as well as graphics, ghostwriting needs, and editing needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that you would like to spend 30 minutes with them. And what could you give them as a thank you for their time, do you think?
Well, I have an e-book on the 10 biggest mistakes that small businesses make that could land you in court and how to avoid them.
Great. Then you give them a copy of that.
Okay.
Do any of them have that as far as you know? Does anybody have that?
Not
okay. Yeah, well, I think that's a great title, and I don't know if I told you this, but I attended one of Katrina's events. It might have been the July event, where she referred to your offer page in her slide show, her slide PowerPoint, and she thought your title of that ebook was great. So I thought I may have told you and I may have forgotten. So point being that that would be a good thank you. So I would suggest that you put together 5 questions per camp so that you feel like you have a bit of a roadmap, and then, put together a list of 10 people that you're going to call, and you just listen back to this recording so that you get the exact wording of what to say in a voicemail message. I would suggest that you write an email as well as follow it up with a voicemail, and you're good to go. And the rest you'll be able to, do what they call it, impromptu, just going with the flow of the conversation, knowing that what you're looking for are 2 things and 2 things only. Ultimately, number 1, what are the biggest needs that people are saying they have? And number 2, what would they pay for? That's that important to them. Does that help at all?
Yes. And may I ask Mary a question, please?
Yeah.
Mary,
yes.
When you ask people what they would pay for in your area of expertise, what do they say?
That's a good question. What would they pay for? So the three people that I talked to, one was more interested in talking about something personal. She said, I'd pay for somebody to find me a man. And the other two, was like, I pay for someone to help me have words that convert.
Aha. Mhm. And they came up with that out of the blue, so to speak.
Well, within the context of they know what I do, and that's what our relationship is that I've coached them on what's their content.
Okay, so does that...
It seems like such a blunt question to me. That's, you know...
But it's not what you lead with.
No. All right.
It's not what you lead with. So it's in the mix.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's field
yeah.
research.
So that can leave it... hypothetical is not the right word, but it doesn't have to be their lives. Yeah, well, that's not right either, but...
it's what's okay, relevant to them. I mean, the gal that is, you know, she wants to be dating. So what would you pay for? I'd pay for somebody to find me a man. So they could come back with something like that.
Yeah.
Well, so but you're asking... Wait. Let me jump in.
Yeah.
This. So you're going to be asking questions about your services of what they would pay for.
Yeah.
You don't want to ask a question about them grocery shopping and it's Thanksgiving and what would they pay for. You know, it's
right.
You're asking only about your particular arena, and if they say nothing, because I don't have any need for blogging, copywriting, article writing, ghostwriting, editing, then you know that they're not your niche.
Right. You're right. Right.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that if you go ahead and do what I said about think about the three kinds of scenarios and keeping in mind the people that have reached out to you, people that have reached out and hired you, people that have shown any kind of curiosity about what you do, even if they haven't reached out to you, build on those kinds of people to see what way you might pose questions. And then make five questions per camp, per niche, per service, per service need. Am I being clear? If I'm not, by all means ask me because I want to move. You got it?
Yes, you are. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, the other thing I want to say is that we all, including myself in my own way, I have been very good about this for myself over the last few years. The time has come where we have to make the decision that are you guys listening?
Yes.
Okay. The time has come that we have to be very congruent and grounded within ourselves, that when we need help with anything, that we ask for it. We have entered into a new era. You've heard me say this ad nauseum. The pressure and the pace and the demands that you're going to be facing soon, if not already, because of our new administration, if you're not grounded in the fact that you matter and that your needs, even if you think that they are silly needs, that they are embarrassing needs, that they are needs that you wish should not exist, you're just going to have to find a way to move past that. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you, Barb, should have cared enough about yourself to be so that you could be on top of all these exercises, because I know you know that they're all very valuable exercises. I know that you know that what I choose for the two of you, that it all has value. It's not extraneous, right? I believe that's very true about you, correct?
Yes, yes.
And so for you to rob yourself of going into an exercise is your healing point. This is where you now need to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am singling you out because you are worth it. So what I mean by that is you have a very real pattern that emerged, and it's a good thing that it did in this course, because this is something that's been plaguing you for a long time. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can sit down with that part. You know, go back to the moment where you, when you're honest with yourself, can identify that you knew that you were not sure which way to turn, and then you just rode over that feeling. You didn't reach out to me or to Mary. And when you go back and you find that moment, you know, where you were justifying things, whatever was your strategy at the time to hide, basically, mm-hmm. for you to use your, I would suggest that you use the training process from October of 2015, the healing, self-healing with your spirit guides. Remember that one?
Yes, yes.
I would recommend that you put yourself through those steps, calling upon the transmissions of grace as well, since you've developed such a very real relationship with them. And get to the bottom of what that pattern was all about that stopped you from reaching out. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, because this is the class to do it in. You know, you didn't do anything wrong. You're expanding and you're growing. And to be in business, it is a personal development journey. You know, you've heard people say that all over the place, I'm sure.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That you have to work on yourself if you're going to be a business owner. So this was yours, right? You got it?
Yeah.
And Mary has had hers of, you know, having to learn how to handle difficult people situations. That's been Mary's learning curve. Yours is valuing yourself enough that if you think you might seem foolish, or you think you should know something that you don't, or you don't really know what it is that you're doing, period, then you stop. Is that an accurate assessment, or am I misspeaking about anything?
No, that's very true.
Okay. All right. So on that note, I'm going to move to the next thing, and that is I'm going to go in a completely different direction, and that is to follow up with your experience with these beautiful prayers from Lisa Barnett. And the way I'd like to do it is by reading them to you and you feeling the transformational shift, the shifts that you experience. So what I'll do is I'll read each one out loud, and then I'll be quiet before I go to the next one. so that you can feel what happened. And if you want to open your eyes after I finish each one or any of them to write down some key words, then do that, because I'm going to ask you your experience of them. Are you ready for me to do that with you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you obviously have something to write with, right?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So we always want to check in to establish a before and after. So just take a moment, close your eyes, do a scan, and rate yourself in terms of peacefulness, in terms of relaxation, in terms of self-confidence. Peacefulness, relaxation, and confidence on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being, I am so relaxed. I have just been in heaven for the last hour, and I'm still in heaven. That's number 5. 1 would be, this is horrible. I got to take a Valium. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mary, you know what a Valium is?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Mm-hmm. I heard Bob's giggle, but I didn't hear Mary giggle.
I was smiling.
Okay. So go ahead, peacefulness, relaxation, self-confidence. Rate yourself. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
Ready.
Great. Okay, now close your eyes and off we go here. Prayer of forgiveness. Divine Spirit, Source, please move me into a state of forgiveness towards anyone or anything that has hurt me, consciously or unconsciously, from the beginning of time to this present moment. I now forgive them and I release the energy of the past. Divine Spirit, Source, please move me into a state of forgiveness towards myself for any hurt that I have caused others, consciously or unconsciously, from the beginning of time to this present moment. I now forgive myself and I release the energy of the past. Divine Spirit, Source, please move me into a state of forgiveness towards myself for any hurt that I have caused myself, consciously or unconsciously, from the beginning of time to this present moment. I now forgive myself and I release the energy of the past. I invoke the grace and power of forgiveness to transform my body, mind, and heart as I return to a state of divine innocence. And so it is. Take your notes. Let me know when you're ready to go to the next one.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ready.
Thank you. Prayer for alignment. Get quiet again. Spirit, Source, Universe, please show me what it feels like to be the highest, brightest, most expansive and aligned self that I can be today. Please open my heart to know the truth of my divinity and allow me to receive all the good that is within and without. Please guide me to be clearly on my soul path and abundant in all ways with ease and grace. Amen. Take your notes. Let me know when you're ready.
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 All right. Close your eyes. Get yourself quiet. Prayer for healing. Divine Mother, Father, God, and beings of light of my Akashic record. Please hold me and support me as I open to receive healing and clearing on multidimensional levels. Please remove any blockage that no longer serves me from any time, place, or dimension. Please upgrade my physical and etheric bodies to hold more light with ease. Please unchain, unconstrict, clear, and open my multidimensional heart on all planes and dimensions. Please move me into a state of forgiveness throughout time and space, clearing all connected karma. I give great thanks for your divine love, wisdom, and grace. Amen. Make your notes. Let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
Thank you.
Ready.
Prayer to clear foreign energy. Mother, Father, Goddess, God, please assist me in clearing and releasing all outside energies that are in my body, aura, and energy field. Please send them back to the person from which they came, or send them to the divine source to be recycled for the highest good of all. I am filled with my purest energy and highest vibration I can now hold. And take your notes. And let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
Thank you.
Ready.
Okay, go back to your centered space. I call on Archangel Michael and his legions alongside the Akashic beings of light and divine source. Please surround me with your light and love and keep me protected and safe as I order the release and clearing of all energies, interference, thoughts, feelings, patterns, programming, and imprinting across all time and space, in all dimensions and levels and all places and planes that are not in alignment with my highest and best Akashic blueprint. You are to leave my body, mind, and energy field now and forever. Please remove and recycle this energy for the highest good of all. And take your notes. Let me know when you're ready.
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 Thank you. Good. And the last one, going back to your centered place. Prayer to assist forward motion. Mother, Father, Goddess, God, please release the ties that bind me. Help me to expand outside of time and space to clear and release any energy that is trapped in the past from the beginning of time until this present moment. Please help me to gather my highest energy in this moment that I might have the impetus to move forward on my soul path, fulfilling my soul purpose. And take your notes. And let me know when you're ready.
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 Thank you. Okay. All right. So let's share about this. Just tell me overall anything that you want to share about your experience of all or some of the prayers, and if you use them between last week and this week, which was part of your home play. So who wants to go first?
Well, I use them every day, sometimes with the new grounding, sometimes with old grounding.
That's great, Barb. Good for you. Good for you.
And I had to trust that something was happening.
So you didn't notice anything?
No shifting kind of thing. I realized that the prayer to St. Michael was a perfect protection prayer.
What does that mean, perfect protection prayer?
In our soul alignment process, saying a protection
right.
prayer to kick everybody else out.
Right.
So some of these things were new ideas to me. And
sure.
In prayer number one, I find it very difficult to forgive myself for hurting others.
Okay, so that's very important for you to have realized. So tell me why you decided to honor and do the home play of these prayers, Barb. Why did you agree to do them?
Well, because I said I would do them.
Great. Thank
and,
you.
Wanting to experience them and what that might be.
Mm-hmm.
What a shift might be.
And so, in retrospect, go back to one particular day, whatever day you want, and just observe as you look at yourself how you felt before you did the prayers and then how you felt after you went through all of them. And tell me if you notice anything.
I did them at different times of day. Just
good, good,
out.
Good.
And they were very relaxing before bed.
Okay, so would you say, okay, hang on one second. So would you say that you did feel more relaxed before going to bed on whatever days you did it prior to going to sleep?
Yes.
Would you call
during the day when I do them, sometimes my mind sort of wanders and I have to focus on, all right, what's the point of this one? What's the last sentence? And I have to
right.
say that I was wishing that we had a recording of you saying the prayers so that I wouldn't have my eyes open reading.
Okay, well, I actually was, maybe I picked up on you telepathically just now because I did make the decision just now, a few moments ago that I would edit out this section so you could have it as an auditory thing also. So, yes, I will do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when you did do them before you went to sleep, would you say that the relaxation came from having done the prayers?
No.
So when you said it was very relaxing, what were you referring to?
It was a good way to transition into sleep.
But it wasn't that the prayers were. In other words, if you went and you read a novel, you would have had the same reaction.
Right.
Okay.
Well, right. In fact, a novel I might have nodded off sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So I did keep a focus.
Well, I think that the fact that you had a reaction to the forgiveness prayer is very important and very valuable. And I would like to suggest that you continue doing these every day, and let's see what that brings up for you in this next week. Are you willing to do that?
Yep, yep.
Great. Thank you. And what about you, Mary dear?
Well, I did them every day, with the exception of one day, since we got the assignment. And I always did them before I went to bed, and I liked that it was a way to close the day, and I felt very, purity and peace after I had done them. However, I thought it was really interesting after you read the alignment one, and it ends with ease and grace, and I wrote down hoarder because yesterday when my husband was noticing that there were piles of things around the house, and he accused me of being a hoarder. And that definitely was not ease and grace.
Mm-hmm. Which one was the prayer that made you think of that?
The alignment.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the message is for you there?
It's that I want ease and grace, and it bothers me too that there are piles. But for him to point it out and then say, I don't want you to feel bad, but you're hoarding because there's so much stuff here.
Good. So that means that your next step is to do what about that? Can you hire somebody? Can you tell your husband that you need some support with this and that you are wanting to change that situation, but you need support?
Yes. In fact, I have somebody coming to the house next week.
Good.
Yeah, it's in the works.
Great. So that takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I suffer from that as well. I suffer from hoarding, and it's a constant battle.
Well, then I would suggest that you, too, look to get either an organizer or a high school kid or somebody, a friend's teenager, or whatever kind of person, you know, an organizer who's good would probably be one of the better kinds of people because they're trained to look, hopefully, they're trained to look for helping the client release things that are just not serving them.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel, Barb, that you might be ready for something like that?
I discuss it with a counselor regularly.
That's good. At least it's on the radar. But what I'm saying is different. This goes from you getting it off your to-do list and onto somebody who's actually going to help you get it done, because your life is overwhelming as it is, right? And if it's a matter of you hiring somebody who could maybe set up some systems that would make it easier for you to manage whatever the build-up is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and as you know, hoarders don't accept help.
Well, I didn't say you're a hoarder. I'm not going to put a label on you. You're a very smart woman. You're just overwhelmed and overloaded like the next person. So if you don't mind, I'm not going to label you as a hoarder. Is that okay with you if I don't label you as a hoarder?
Yeah. You'll be the only one who doesn't. But
well, that's because I know you in ways that they don't. So are you willing to consider hiring an organizer to just come in and do an analysis? To at least give you an idea of how to go about this?
I'm a good organizer. It's just that I won't get rid of things.
Well, then you're not a good organizer, meaning that there's some part of you that is keeping things that are not relevant to even be considered to be organized. You know what I mean? You know, in Katrina's mastermind, you've got an organizer, the gal that lives down there in San Diego.
Right. And I'm afraid to admit to her that I'm a hoarder.
But you're not. I'm not being cute. Now I'm getting frustrated. You are not a hoarder. You're somebody who is overwhelmed, and you're learning how to choose the paths of priority. So please just give yourself a break and take this hoarding thing off your list. Can you do that? Are you willing to replace hoarding with overwhelmed? Is that a fair request for me to make?
Yes. Yes.
So I don't blame you. If you looked upon yourself as a hoarder, Jesus, I wouldn't want people to know about that either if I was a hoarder. So you're not a hoarder. You're just somebody who's overwhelmed. You're making huge changes in your life. You're very brave. You're very courageous. You're very sensitive. And piles of paper and crap around the house just isn't your priority.
Right. And so it's not a matter of that there are just little paths, because my husband doesn't allow that. But you know, I do have my stuff and more than I need.
Good. Say it like that. You and me both, you know? And probably 99.9% of business owners who don't have house cleaners, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you accept what I'm saying, Barb? Do you feel, would you please, can I give you the homework assignment to contact her? I forget her name. Do you know her name?
Yeah. I don't know it offhand, but I know which one she is.
Would you please be willing to contact her and actually have a conversation with her? That's all I want you to do, is have a conversation with her between now and our next session, which is the 25th, February something. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Because we all know this. Because we're in personal growth circles and all that, we know that clutter and drains us, it tanks our self-confidence and our self-respect, and it actually congests our energy. In fact, I have the plan that this weekend I'm going to go through a bunch of papers that are on my desk, and I might even go through my closet, you know, to start getting rid of stuff that's just obsolete. And I know I'm going to feel 90 pounds lighter when I do that. So what we're talking about here now is reaching out for help, not judging ourselves for where we're at, just accepting where we're at and looking for what the next step is, and being sensitive to what leaks our energy, what drains our energy, what diminishes our life force. That's what we're talking about here. And it's all relevant to you reaching your goal for your completion project, because all of these things, when they're properly addressed, helps to free up our energy so that we are present and strong where we need to be, which is sales. So both of you, please give me some feedback as to what you gained from this topic that we just covered.
It's confirmation that clutter is an energy drain, and it's not my imagination that I feel exhausted when I face another pile and think, I said I was going to do something about this and it's not happening.
Yeah, I
agree. Yep, that adage of handle a piece of paper once.
Yeah.
What, great. And how about you, Barb, as far as additional value that you got from this?
Well, the fact that I admitted it, and I thank Mary for being open about that experience with her, and then I was brave enough to admit it too.
Me too.
I wouldn't have brought it up on my own.
Right. And I thank both of you because it tells me that you love yourselves enough and, of course, that you feel safe enough and that you really are dealing with the intolerables. And that's part of what this course is all about, is leaving the past in the past, learning the lessons that you're supposed to learn from your higher self, so to speak, and leaving yourself open to take all of that energy back, to bring your soul home so that you can put your energies where they need to be, which is making money and sales and bringing your mission and your message out to your world, whatever that might be. Okay, so that's why all of this is relevant. It's the inner world and it's the outer world. You all track that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so please continue working on your intolerables. Please continue doing the prayers. And notice each time you do them, just look and see if there are any shifts taking place and put them in your journal. And if you don't notice any shift, that's fine. By the time we complete this course, I really believe that you will both notice shifts from doing those prayers. Okay, now let's jump into Linda Sturtevant's calling process, her what she calls her flashcards. Did anybody use this kind of structure when you were talking to people?
No.
I reviewed it, and she makes it seem so simple.
Yeah. And what about you, Mary? Tell me what your experience with this was.
So I looked it over, and it was a refresher because I did work with her. I haven't made any calls since the flashcards were introduced.
Did you say you did more work with her? Is that what you said?
No, I have worked with her. So
yes.
It was a refresher to see the flashcards, so to speak, but I haven't used them since you reintroduced them in our class.
Right. So what I would like you to do is, for home play, is to do another campaign, another email campaign, where you're inviting people to talk to you, because you both have your projects that you really, really, really want to have celebrate and prove to yourselves that you can go after a dream and a goal. And what you can do is to look over the triggers that she says here. For instance, if you open that handout, do you both have access to that handout?
Yes,
should have. Okay. Barb, do you as well?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, for you to use the same format as we did in our other campaign, I guess it was the summer course campaign, right? Or did we do a new camp? I don't remember. They're both, to me, they're both so combined, the summer course and this. I know that, did we do a camp? No, I think I initially introduced the funnel to you in the summer course, right? Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And then we reviewed it a couple of classes ago in this one. Just go back to that information, and you're going to do the same three-part sequence where you're giving them information, some sort of education-based marketing, and if you want to use the same content as you did before, then just, you know, change a couple of words here and there. And you're going to invite them to talk to you because you've got an offer. You've got something that you want to give them the benefit to know about. And at the same time, you're also wanting to be a bit of an interviewer in that conversation to find out what they really, really need at this time. So it's going to be the same format as the summer course. The only difference really is going to be you and your intention, because what you're additionally wanting to do in these conversations with them, and you can include it in your wording of the copy of these emails, is that you do want to interview them to find out what is most important to them in the realm of X, Y, and Z. You can come right out and say that in the very first paragraph of your very first email of that campaign. Mm-hmm. Are you with me so far?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the way that you can integrate part of Linda's system here, even in the email, is you could say something like, if, let's take a look at the one that says disarming, that section there. If you are experiencing X, Y, and Z, I understand. You could say something like that. I understand that you may be experiencing more of A, B, C. I understand. And you can add other kinds of feelings or thoughts that you think your readers might be experiencing. Do you know what I mean? Is this making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What the people who would be reading the email message?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because what you want to do is you want to start matching what you think might be what they're living right now. You want to address it. And you would just use the words, I understand. It's not the way she's using it here, but in a sense, the similarity is that in a conversation, she's remembering some things that she knows about that person. So she says, I understand that you've been wondering about copywriting regarding your business. You're starting to do a website. So that's a rapport builder there. I'm saying in a campaign, what you would do is imagine that you know something about them. You're going to imagine that you understand that if you're using graphics in your emails and articles and blogs, that you might be wondering, is this kosher? Is this legal? Right, Barb?
Yep, yep, yep.
Now, if you have... So you would skip over the if you recall part, because unless you're talking to them... then it obviously would be hard to integrate that into an email. So let's go to page 2 of her thing, which is the reason. And so in your email, you would say, the reason I'm emailing you now is because I really want to get to know more about you and what you need. And I'm in the process of doing some new programs, and I would really love your input. And if you already have a desire to blog, to get your message out, to really find out how your words can transform your clients, I have some openings between now and February 1st or February 3rd. I have 6 openings, I have 3 openings, say whatever you want. And I would love to invite you to have a conversation with me, you know, something like that. So the distinction here is that you're going to be stating 2 purposes, a this and an or and a that. The this is the interview, really finding out what's important to you. I'm doing some new programs, and your input will make a big difference. Or if you already know that you have a website that's full of graphics and you don't really know if there is a compliance that you need to adhere to, we can talk about that as well. Do you both understand what I'm saying? There's a this, and then there's an or, and then there's a that. That this has to do with you wording about you interviewing them and finding out what's really important to them and what they really need and what's important enough for them to buy. You could even, you know, do that if you feel comfortable with those kinds of words. Then you put the word or, like centered in the middle of the paragraph block, and the or after that would be imagining the kinds of needs that they might have in your respective industry, mm-hmm. and inviting them to talk to you. Are you both with me?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then 2 days later or 3 days later, you would do your next email, and you would just give them some education-based marketing about that. You'd either talk to them about copyright law, or you would talk to them about the importance of getting their message out in a way that really captures the depth of who they are and what they could be for their clients. Something that's educational-based marketing, and then you can repeat, not verbatim, so it doesn't look like you just copied and pasted it, but you would repeat the same call to action of this or that. Are you with me, guys?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And then your third email would be the exact same roadmap, another piece of information-based marketing, and then the call to action. This, again, is the interview. I'm interviewing what's really important to you, what you would really buy. I'm doing some new programs, and your input really matters. And anybody who you could say, I forgot to mention this, in all 3 emails you could say, and in, as a thank you gift for your precious time, I'll be giving you a digital this or an ebook that. Mm-hmm. And you repeat that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, then let's go. We're still talking about the email campaign. On her next page, step number 2, the reason, now step number 3, establish rapport and identifying needs. You might, at this point, you know, after you've listed the this or that format, you can go further down in the email and say, here are some questions that will help you to gauge where you're at or to identify your current status or to uncover your current needs. And then you could ask three questions, which you've already done in the other campaign. Right, guys?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Now, her number three, get her dreaming question, that simply means to ask a question that will help them think about, that will help them stretch their thoughts about what they really want, the ideal vision. That's the question that talks about, if you had that magic wand, what would you like to have in the area of, and then you would put something in there that has to do with your industry. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How is this feeling to you guys so far?
Great.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, then we go to her step number four. What I want to say about this is let me just think about this for a minute. This is where you could cycle back to the benefits of what they would get from talking to you, which we have gone into in so much detail in both the summer course and here. So you've got your questions that you're going to ask them to stir up their imagination so that they can feel what's still missing in their life, right? You with me with what I'm just saying there?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to give them the solution. So you stirred them up, you agitated them. They're thinking about, well, they really should know more about this, this, and this, or they really should be doing that, that, and that. And now you swoop in with the solution. The benefits that you will get from talking to me, or the benefits of us spending this time together, are this, this, and this. And then you again invite them to talk to you. You got that?
Uh-huh.
So that's what I would like you to do for your next campaign, because what you're after, your purpose is, this is lead generation. You've got to make sales. So you're casting out this net. This is one strategy that you're using. The other strategy is you're continuing to think about who to call to go through this interview process and to just get clarity about what people are wanting, what they'll pay for. And only if you really does feel like what you have to offer is something that they could use, you follow the script of what I said last time when I first introduced the interview process to you. Do you remember all that?
Yeah.
I'll re-listen.
Well, basically what I said, Barb, was if you are talking to them and they're answering those questions, then you say, you know, I just want to state something here. I want to continue with my research template here that I've been walking through people with. However, I do think that I have something that would be a fit for what you're needing. May I share that with you after we finish this process, after I finish asking you my field research questions? Do you remember that, Barb?
Yep, yep.
Okay, so you get the idea. You do not want them to feel, and you aren't. You're being honest. You're being sincere. You're seeing a need. You're not being sleazy or manipulative. Your job is to see a need. If it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. It's a need. Your job is to recognize that and to value the fact that you would be helping them. And they say yes or no, right? Hello?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So any questions about doing your email campaign?
No.
Now, I would really like you to send those out this Friday because time is ticking And ideally, you would have people responding and you would be having sessions with people who are interested next week. So I would suggest that you upload, you know, by Friday morning, your three emails if you're willing. If you feel confident enough to just go ahead and send them out, then do that. You know, nothing has to be perfect. You got enough out of the last time we did the campaign. But if you upload them Friday morning, I will give feedback. If you can't get to it by Friday morning, I won't give feedback. Then you just go ahead and just trust. Use your intuition as to how to offer valuable information for them, have it look good, or get each other's feedback. You know, upload it and tag each other. The two of you are, you know, very committed to one another's success. So do you feel that you would be able and willing to send this out on Friday or to start working on it on Friday so that people have it in their inbox by Sunday, and hopefully you would start to get some responses next week? Does that feel doable to you?
I'm at the conference Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay, so when would you like to get this done? Do you think you could whip it out tonight and get something out before you leave?
I can get it started. I don't know
Good.
If I can get it out before I leave. I will commit to having it in people's inbox on Monday.
Okay, great. In the meantime, when you go to that conference, Mary, you should be ready to rock and roll and keep your attention on the pulse to see who might be interested in your program.
Yes.
So bring order forms with you. Okay. All right. So how about you, Barb? Do you feel like you're ready to go ahead and get this done?
Yes, I can repurpose what I had written before.
Exactly.
And I'll get that into the Facebook group by Friday so that you can look at it.
Wonderful. And then don't forget to review the money beliefs that we talked about last time. The handout that I gave you of Suzanne Evans is basically what she's talking about is, you know, what I've talked about with you and what other teachers, when they discuss the client enrollment process, is that there comes a time where either you quit on pursuing the mission of helping them because their objections have derailed you or it just isn't a fit, or they've given up and they either are not able at the moment to blast through their own objections, or they don't want it enough, or they really don't have the money. But there's a quitting. There's a point where you quit and they quit, right?
Right.
So her graphic here, do you both have your PDF open?
Yeah.
What she's talking about here is at the very top, that first arrow that's a horizontal arrow. This is the point where we come across resistance, where the objections start. Or whatever is going on, there is a shift in the feeling of the flow of the conversation. And that's when the potential client starts second-guessing, and also a point where you start second-guessing. You start second-guessing your value, how to handle the objection. And all of that leads to fear. Fear that the client fears that the potential client fears that they're going to change, or that they won't be able to change, or that they can't handle the change, or that they are concerned that the money is going to be greater than the good, whatever it might be. Hang on a second. There's a lot of dust, and I'm going to cough just for a minute. And then that leads to the next arrow, which is blame. You might start blaming yourself that you don't know how to handle the situation. They might be blaming themselves for being in the situation where they can't move forward, or they don't have enough money, or they wish their life was in a different place, or they start blaming you for being pushy, being sleazy, some excuse that has nothing to do with you. But blame starts to come into it. You guys following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then that starts into projecting. If we're focusing on you, you start projecting all your insecurities and your failures and your feeling like you can't handle this situation and why am I in business to begin with. You know, you start projecting all the things that are wrong with you, you taking it personally as you're the problem. And they might be projecting onto you that you're not the solution, or that you're charging too much, or that you don't have what they need. But there is an element of projecting that is still not the truth. But things have gotten stirred up, so most people don't know how to manage that kind of reality when they're all stirred up. So it takes the form of projecting. You understand what that means?
Yeah.
Now, when people start projecting, there's an internal confusion that's going on because they're into a place of unconsciousness. They don't understand what's really going on inside of them. They are defaulting to where they go when they're being confronted. They're in that fight, flight, freeze kind of zone. Fight, flight, or freeze. You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
And when that's going on inside, it definitely leads to overwhelm because your system doesn't have a way out. It doesn't have a solution yet. And so it's a feeling of being overwhelmed. And when there's a feeling of overwhelm, you start blaming again. You start blaming yourself. This is either you or them blaming themselves or blaming you, but there's blame going on. And then somebody quits. You quit, they quit, somebody quits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great relief because the decision has been made. The decision is, I want to get out of here, I'm gone, goodbye, no. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you stay in the game with them and it's a fit and you can stand in your power and you can stand in your worth, you can explain to them that you understand their fear. You understand that they're overwhelmed. You understand that it's possible that they've had this pattern and that they're projecting onto this experience as if this was just another failure or another problem that couldn't get solved or another authority figure that's telling them that they need help. You know, whatever might be the projection that they're doing, but you can tell them, you can use these words. And we've talked about what to say when there is a pattern that you want to point out to them. Could they possibly be reliving a pattern by saying they want something and here it is and then saying that it's too expensive? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the reason I wanted to share this with you is because these give you some key words to let you know what is going on inside of them and inside of you at different stages of the client enrollment process. And that the point about the relief is that you can easily say to them, I'm sure that you're going to feel relieved if you say no to this. However, that relief is just a temporary fix for the fact that you still have this longing, you still have this issue, you still have to get these answers. And so that relief is misleading. And I want to tell you again about what you will gain from this program that we've been discussing, this product, this service, this package. Do you see what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So tell me, and then we'll wrap up. What did you gain from looking at this graphic and having this conversation?
It's a dance. And knowing what is, what the options are, and how you can navigate and negotiate. It's a cycle.
Good.
Being prepared with the language that, hearing the language that they use and giving it back to them so that they will either recognize this is, I've been here before and I don't want to be here, or that this is not a good fit.
Right. Excellent. So you did gain value from this, indeed, yeah. So you like this one, Mary?
Yes.
Great. How about you, Barb? What did you gain from this? What did you like about this? What did you gain from this? Yeah.
It's helpful to see it laid out like this. And I know that Suzanne Evans is a kick-ass kind of person. her program's called Hell Yeah. And thank you for explaining it as you did.
Good. And what of this do you feel that you could use, Barb?
Recognizing that this is the likely flow. And so, okay, this is the next step that's going to come. And expect it, and not get panicked by it. That it's the next step, and we'll deal with it, and then move to the next step.
Right. And know that it's going on inside of you as much of it as it's going on inside of them to some extent.
Yeah.
So you can look out to manage it within yourself, and to help them manage it as well. Let's do a quick turn around. How did you guys do in practicing the new grounding exercise? Just let me know. Who wants to go first?
I did it, I think, 3 times.
How'd you like it?
I like having the crystal. I think it's even more powerful than the other grounding exercise.
Than the what?
Than the other one that we were doing.
Great. And what about the tree roots? How did you like that?
That the combination of the solidity of the tree root and the crystal is just builds to magnificent strength.
Great, so you liked it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. How about you, Barb? Did you do the new, you did, you said that you did.
Yes, and it was a very different kind of experience, the crystal, and I liked it too, and I'm going to try to use it and see if I can remember, so that if I haven't got the recording, I can employ it.
Right. And so you can now integrate this as one of your tools, using the grounding cord for releasing and breathing in what you do want. And then you can add this particular grounding for that strength of the transmuting crystal in the center of the earth, as well as those strong tree roots. Do you see how not to get confused, how to customize both of these tools?
Yeah, that's helpful.
Mary, how about you?
Yes.
Okay, because it would be a mistake to discontinue using the other one, the first one that you've learned all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, pick and choose how to merge them together or use one sometimes and use the other. Just don't forget about the grounding cord as your dumpster. Don't forget about your shield around you, whether you use the golden shield or the blue flame. Those are very important core components that need to be present in any kind of grounding and shielding exercise that you do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
The final thing I want to say to help you in going for your end of the course project is this is one thing that I really want you to listen to over and over again. Just fast forward 2 hours on the recording so that you can hear it multiple times, and that is this. The motivational fuel comes from two sources within you. The motivation to have conversations with people, to put yourself out there, to be uncomfortable at first. The only thing that's going to sustain you to be able to do that are these two things from my observation. Number one is your sense of mission. In your case, Barb, your mission is to help people be as educated as possible so that they can protect themselves and so that they can bring out their work in a way that's classy and effective. That's my sense of your mission, and you have your own sense of your mission, but that's a good start point for you to own. Does that feel right to you, Barb?
Yes, yes, I like that, yes.
And your mission, Mary, is many things. So we've discussed this before, but basically your mission is for people to not be the underdog as you were through a long period of your life, and that their existence and what it is that's important to them and what it is that they feel compelled to do so that they can be of contribution is what you're all about. Is that a good way to capture it to some extent,
yeah.
Mary?
Yeah.
Right. So when you are afraid to pick up the phone, when you are afraid to write an email, when you are feeling like you don't know where to begin, go back to your mission, because that is where the power is. It's not the next marketing strategy. It's not the next great funnel. It's not the next lead page sequence. It's none of that. You being able to talk to people virtually or in person is always going to be fueled by your mission. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
And then the second thing that will fuel you, which is something for you to think about, you're going to be thinking about this when you're in traffic and you are taking a shower and when you're washing dishes, as well as sitting down journaling with just yourself, and that is, you must, and I'm revisiting this myself, not because I'm in a doldrums, but I want to go to the next level of my own life. And that is, why do you want to be in business? Yes, you want the money. Yes, you want the freedom. That's all true. Yes, you want this feeling of contribution. Let's go deeper than that. Why do you want to be in business? Now, when you can get a real kerplunk on that one, why do you want to be in business? That, too, is going to be the motivating fire that people are going to want to be around you for. It'll make you charismatic, and it'll be the attracting force in your auric field, magnetizing to you the opportunities, as you've already seen in your momentum, right?
Right.
But the other thing is, it's going to get you through those times when you are just too uncomfortable to take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to leave you with those two important reference points for you to sit with yourself and really meditate upon, journal upon. What is my mission? Why am I in business? And all of this, all of this, all of this as you can see, tie into one thing and one thing only, and that is you want to make your goal by the end of this course. And these are all the ways to get there.
Absolutely.
So does all this seem relevant and congruent and, you know, they link together? You see all that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, so let's conclude with our famous wrap-up, and that is, what were the highlights of this course for you tonight? Who wants to go first?
Ooh, so many.
Yay.
I love going over, reviewing where we are and the evidence of land, being reminded of, oh, yeah, you do have evidence internally and externally. And going over the prayers, they are so, the language is just so beautiful. And looking at Linda's things and with a different perspective of doing instead of a phone call, making an email campaign. That's brilliant.
What was that last thing you said? Email what? What's
using
brilliant?
Using Linda's structure and language as an email campaign.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you think that's brilliant. That always makes me feel good.
Yeah.
For me, it was very those things and also really drilling down into my fears and the questions that I can ask and whom I can ask and really thinking about whom I can contact and that was very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I thank you for, you know, getting the spirit with which I did that.
Yep.
Okay, ladies, well, we can call it a wrap, and I'll see you in 15 minutes in our Q&A, so think of some good questions for me so that we can take your strategizing and anything else, like if you've got a particular client situation or personal situation, that's what our next round is all about. So tonight is a Sasha. Yeah?
I'm going to have to pass because I haven't had dinner yet, but I may be able to come in at the end.
Well, I would suggest you grab something. I don't think you should miss this, Barbara, to be honest with you. So if you can just grab something to sustain your blood sugar, because I have to do the same. But I just want to encourage you to be there. You know, just grab something around the house so that you don't pass out.
Okay. All right. I may be late, but I'll get there.
Okay. All right. See you soon. Love you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.